An elegant weapon for a more civilized age.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to An Elegant Weapon. My name is J.M. Clark, and it is so wonderful to have you all here back with us this week. Returning to the show after far too long, our old friend, Mr. Shane Herron. He's a comic book artist, writer, and chef extraordinaire. This was a very fun episode because it harkened back to the old days of podcasting when you just got together with your friends and had a good old-fashioned shit talk, a good old-fashioned chew the fat. And that's what we did. We talked about so much cool stuff, and you're going to hear all about it. But first, I need to apologize. For some reason, something happened to my audio end of the first half of the show this week. We recorded through Zoom, but for some reason, Zoom decided to use my laptop mic, which is not great quality. So I'm afraid the first half of this episode is not what you're used to hearing, but the second half, it recorded fine. So apologies for me not sounding as crisp and clear as I usually do. It's completely fine and audible, but you can kind of tell that it picked it up through my laptop microphone for some lame reason. But the second half, like I say, turned out fine. So please bear with it, and you probably won't even notice it after a few minutes because this is such a good conversation. I had a blast hanging out with Shane. And yeah, I really hope you guys all enjoy it half as much as we enjoyed having the conversation itself. So there you go. Kids, coming up this weekend, March 17th, Toronto Comic Con. I will be there as your sketch duel host. I'm very looking forward to returning, and I hope you're all there. Please come say hi. I've got sketch duels like all weekend long. So if you see me, say hello, please do, especially if you're listening through our vast new TikTok and YouTube audience. And thank you again for all that incredible growth. It's been amazing. So yeah, Toronto Comic Con. Check it out. Other than that, here you go. Good old-fashioned shit talk with our good friend, Mr. Shane Herron.
Kids, this is An Elegant Weapon. My name's Jay. We're hanging out with a good old friend of ours. He's a writer. He's an artist. He's a chef. He's a dog lover. He's Shane Herron. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Hey, man, thanks for having me back on the show. It's been a minute.
It's been forever, dude.
Yeah, man.
I gotta flick my bick in recognition of old good times.
Do you always like save a joint? Like as soon as you start the podcast, you're like, time to light the joint.
That was back in the day, man. I kind of didn't for a long time. And I don't know, for some reason, I was trying to be all fucking proper or some shit. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. But yeah, plus it's been pretty sporadic, right? Like, it's been a while since I did this podcast regularly. The last time I did it regularly, like weekly committed, was the beginning of COVID. And that's when I started doing video. Remember when I was doing Zoom recordings for a while?
Yeah.
And then I kind of got bored of that because fucking everybody was fucking doing it. It seemed like everybody in the world started a podcast or some kind of video thing during that time. And I was just like, I'm not feeling it. This isn't what I do. So I got back to a place where I was just like, oh, I just burned a hole in my shirt. Perfect. I got back to a place where I was like, I don't care anymore. I just want to have fun conversations like we used to do. You know, it felt too, hey, kids, this is the next Kickstarter on the line. So let's see what they're doing this time. And I was like, yeah, man, enough.
I mean, it makes sense. COVID was the perfect time to either start a podcast or learn to make sourdough bread.
Or go absolutely crazy and just walk in the woods for fucking 18 months. I hear you.
What's wrong with that? That sounds great.
It was great. I'm not knocking it. I had an amazing time. It was a hell of an experience. I was able to write my comic because of it. My whole fucking comic idea came out of all my hiking and shit, right? So,
yeah, man, being in nature is inspirational. I mean, One of the Morrises I did, I was like, I wrote it just like doing like big long dog walks, kind of thinking of different ideas for a while.
I tell you, man, being outside and just getting a little bit of exercise, it's so, well, it's not underrated, but it's just, it's ignored a lot. And, you know, I don't try to be preachy, even though, like, you know, I've focused on my own like health and fitness and nutrition the past few years, but being part of this community, you know, especially the past like year, like a lot of guys have been dropping like flies, like older guys who've, you know, been workhorses in the industry who just sat and drew all day and they never got out, and, you know, their health wasn't necessarily the best. And, you know, I that's why I try to gently encourage a lot of artists who may spend 8 hours a day sitting in a chair to fucking, you got to get up, go for a walk, even if it's 20 minutes, 10 minutes, like, dude, move a little, because your heart.
I always tell people, I'm like, walks, man, walks, just to get the blood 100% flowing.
Yeah, you don't need to, like, everybody's like, Jay, what'd you do to get in shape? Like, you're working out so hard and like fucking running or what? And I'm like, no, I walk. I lost 60 pounds by walking. I mean, like, granted, I became obsessive and would walk like 30K a day. But fucking, that's unnecessary. Like, you don't need to do that. But like, I worry, because you see a lot of people in our industry, like, you know, they get to be like in their 50s, 60s, and, you know, just gone one day. It sucks.
Yeah. That's honestly, that's one thing I like about having a dog, is because before I had a dog, if you asked me, like, do you go on walks? I'd say like, yeah, I go on walks every once in a while. And I never went on walks at all. But now I have to go on walks. My dog loves to walk too. So it's like, you have to do it, and it's good for you. It's great for you.
100%. You got no choice, you know, make it a forced responsibility. It's a great idea.
I used to always, especially when I first got my dog, I'd go on the walks and I'd have my like earbuds queued up and I listen to a podcast or music and always. And then I got to a point where I was like, you know what I like is stop bringing my earbuds, stop listening. Just like, cause we're so stimulated all the time for seven with our phones or computers, work, whatever. You're always looking at a screen. You're always like, sorry, like bring, like listening to something. Or like, and it's like, it's actually like, that's my time now where I just sort of let my brain process and sort of like digest all the things. Cause we don't really turn things off anymore. Like you would before all this technology. Right. So it's actually feels really good to just sort of let your brain just, you know, if you're feeling anxiety or anger or something like that, you go for a walk and just kind of process that shit. And you feel a lot better after.
100%, dude. It's so good for your mental health as well. Like, absolutely. Yeah. Like, and shit. And because it's the kind of thinking where it's not like, like a stressful trying to figure something out thinking. Even if you got a problem, you know, it gets a little softer if you just go for a walk and let your mind wander, and you'll find maybe you start to go on a walk, maybe you're raging, maybe you're pissed off, but I guarantee you 5, 10, 15 minutes later, you've calmed the fuck down and you're probably thinking things a little bit more clearly, right? Like, that's why people get pissed and they're like, I gotta go for a walk. Your body senses it. Your body's like, I need to move this out, get this energy out so my brain can function better, right? Like, you're 100%.
And nature, so nature's important. People don't realize nature. You got to go into nature.
100%, man. It's good times. So I got to ask you about something, because I don't get it. I'm one of those people who do not get Seinfeld.
Loser.
And I don't hate Seinfeld. Like, it doesn't bother me. I'm not like, fuck Seinfeld, he's not funny or whatever. I just personally, my own taste, my own sense of humor, I wasn't one to watch Seinfeld and just fucking bust a gut laughing. But you love this shit to the point where you're doing a podcast and weekly trivia nights about Seinfeld. What's the deal with Seinfeld, Ben?
I'm one of the best trivia Seinfeld guys in the city. As lame as that sounds, I'm pretty proud of it.
It's awesome.
I fucking love it, dude. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, like the first time I heard about it, I think when I was maybe 8 or something like that, I remember my aunt saying, like, I'm going to watch the show Seinfeld. And I said, you know, what is that? And she basically said, like, oh, it's it's a show about this Jewish comedian in New York and his friends. And I just thought, that doesn't sound funny at all. I mean, I was 8 years old. That wasn't my thing. But then it became just so popular. And I remember getting into it, just being like, dude, this show is just the greatest. There was nothing, like, they do things on there that nobody else was doing. Like, you watch your regular sitcoms and they're about like these fucking problems, but they're always like learning lessons and stuff. And I'm like, I want to watch, like, the first time I watched it, I think I saw the one where the Junior Mint, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
They go to an operation and they drop a Junior Mint inside the guy's operation hole and they sew him up with a Junior Mint inside of it. And I just remember being like, holy fuck, man, what is this show? Like, how is that a show? And it's the funniest fucking thing ever. There's the next episode, I think, was like the one where the valet stinks up his car with BO and the BO is just sticking to everything. And it was just literally, the show is called The Smelly Car. And I just remember being like, holy fuck, no one's doing stuff like this. It's absurd, but it's like still deals with sort of like the reality and the minutia of things that happen in real life. Like, cause they're all based on things that happen to real people. So you're like, oh, maybe someone, like, you know, like when there's an episode where George freaks out on his boss and quits, and then he realizes he has no other prospects. So he goes back to the job and sort of just pretends he didn't do that. But Larry David did that in real life. Larry David was a writer on Saturday Night Live and couldn't get any sketches on, freaked out, stormed out, and then came back after the weekend and just pretended like he didn't do it. And when they called him out, they were like, didn't you quit? And he was like, oh, I'm a comedian. I was joking around. And like, so it's all based in some sort of reality, dude. And I love it. Something about it rings really true.
Are you okay? So, cause like, you're a pretty, like, I'm not like using this word to like blow smoke up your ass, but you're like a confident, comfortable dude. Like, as far as if you find yourself in an awkward situation, it doesn't make you all anxious and stressed out to a point where you can almost chuckle at the situation. So is that like, do you find that humorous within it? Because that's something that's difficult for me. When some of those situations in Seinfeld are so fucking uncomfortable that I just can't feel the humor in it. For you, that's enjoyable. Yeah.
That makes sense. That I think there's like, I've always been one who I like to say when something's awkward or sort of absurd and everyone's just not saying it because they don't want to be that guy to bring it up. I like being the one to go like, wait, well, what's happening here? Like, why are we doing this? Why did you do that? Like, this is ridiculous. Why are we doing this? Or something like that. And I think it's also a reason why I'm a fan of like Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is sort of an offshoot of Seinfeld. And even like comedians like Norm Macdonald, I've always found the truth and sort of the reality of stuff is way funnier than coming up with something funny. Cause you just look around and you go like, fuck man, like real life is so ridiculous. And it's absurd that you get in these situations where no one's going to say something cause it's too awkward. And I'll just be like, yeah, fucking yeah.
You want to hear it? Okay.
I'll tell you a personal thing that is similar to this that just happened to me. So my girlfriend's grandmother just passed away. They were very close.
She's
older. She had a good life, you know. So we went to the funeral and they asked, I wasn't that close to her. I only met her a handful of times, but they asked me to be a pallbearer because there wasn't enough, you know, guys. You know, she didn't have mostly granddaughters, stuff like that. And I've always thought, you know, you'd be a pallbearer if you're close to the person, you know, like I've done it for my grandparents stuff, but I thought I don't feel right being a pallbearer for someone I don't know that well, but my girlfriend's asking me, it's important to her. So I'll be a pallbearer for this, who passed away. And we went to the funeral and we get to it's a sort of like a rainy, mucky day. And we get to the cemetery and the people who work at the cemetery have laid out plywood boards all the way to the gravesite, so that when you walk on there, you're not walking in the mud and slipping and sliding and possibly dropping the coffin.
I've seen that.
And right. I was like, yeah, let's do that. I'm wearing a suit and dress shoes. And for some reason, someone's like, oh, we should walk on the grass because I don't want to trip on the plywood boards. And I was like, well, no, but that's what the boards are for. The people who work in these cemeteries put that there because that's what you do. And somehow I didn't want to make a big stink because it's like, listen, it's not about me. It's not my funeral, not my family. I'm just trying to be there to support it. So don't make a big stink. But I was biting my tongue so hard because everyone decided that walking on the muddy grass was a better option than the fucking plywood boards they put out for this purpose. And I literally said, I go, why don't we just walk on the boards? And they go, I don't want to trip on the boards. I go, do you think it's a better option to possibly slip in mud and one, drop the grandmother, which would be awful, two, get my suit fucking covered in mud? Like, we, so, but they all voted me and it, I thought it was absurd, but I didn't want to make a big thing. So I didn't do it. So we did it. We walked on the grass. It was fine. But I just thought, like, why, what kind of world am I living in where they've put these boards out for us and yet everyone else has decided that we're not going to use them? Like, it was just like stuff, situations like that. You're just like, what the fuck? Am I the only sane person here right now?
That's fucking hilarious, because just yesterday at work, I was taking a tree down and we had to take out all the brush from the backyard, right? But it was slippery and muddy. So we put down boards and we put down mats to walk on so we wouldn't slip in the grass ourselves. Yeah. So it's like an automatic thought. They're like, you know what? I don't trip on what? Like the cracks in between? Like that's
what I'm saying. Like, what's more likely? So just like there's little lips between the two boards, but just don't trip on those. It's more, way more likely that the mud could give way and you could just lose your footing. But I'm the asshole for suggesting it, right? Like, that's like the situations where I'm like, yeah, I really relate to a Larry David in this situation and stuff like that. Those are the things where you're like, why? Well, it's absurd. And everyone doesn't want to be offensive, so no one says anything. But I don't mind usually. I mean, in a situation like that, it's a funeral, I'm not going to make a big stink. But normally I'll be like, yeah, what? Hey, guys, why the fuck are we doing this?
Yeah, you're always, it's amazing how blunt you can be yet always tactful. Like, you're never mean or offensive or rude or fucking anything to anybody ever. I've never seen you be that way in the fucking like 10 fucking years I've known you. But you're still able to do it. I'll say this,
there's a handful of people that would definitely disagree with you who think I'm a ripe asshole.
Really? Fuck.
But yeah, but man, you know what?
I've never seen them. You know what? They just think you're an asshole because you pointed out their fucking ignorance and stupidity, and it's embarrassing. So people like fucking get defensive about it. But honestly, like, if you're just saying a fact about a situation and pointing out the ridiculousness of it, I agree with you. That's why I love fucking Norm Macdonald and Bill Burr. Because not only does Bill Burr point it out, but as he does, he gets angrier and angrier and angrier. Yeah. Like, you know, it's 100% brilliant. I fucking totally get it.
Well, like, so what is one thing too, we went to like the last Comic-Con I think I went to was Fan Expo. And okay, so I don't want to make a big thing about it. I'm not an anti-mask or that type of thing. But people, at the beginning of COVID, everyone was wearing masks because they told us this is what worked. We found out that the masks didn't really do anything, right? So, but people are still wearing masks. I did it when they told us it was working. I don't want to wear a mask. I don't like it, but I wasn't one of those people like freaking out. But now we found out the science really didn't support that the masks did a whole lot. And
right,
if you're like, so now we go to a Comic-Con like Fan Expo and people are wearing masks. And I'm like, well, if you feel that strongly about this, why aren't you staying home? You know what I mean? Like, if they like, why are you at a thing with a million people around you if you're that worried about catching an illness or spreading it? Like, just fucking stay home then in that case, right? And then you get people that would come up to me at the show and they're wearing a mask. So I'm like, once again, I think it's silly, but I'm not going to go like make a big thing. But then they want to shake your hand and you go, well, then why the fuck are you shaking my hand? Like, like these things don't line up. If you feel that strongly, why are you wearing a mask and then now wanting to shake my hand where I could be sick? You could give me a like. And so that doesn't add up to me. So my thing is like the absurdity of like, yeah, I'm going to wear a mask to be safe, but I'm going to go to a con with 100,000 people and shake people's hands. That's the part that doesn't make sense to me.
You're going to get so much sicker off physical contact with all the gross, grubby things that a million other people have fucking touched than you ever are off somebody's fucking breath. I used to be one of those people who, you know, would wear clothes right off the rack, like out of the store without washing them first. I didn't care. And
you're not supposed to do that?
Well, it's still occasionally, I don't really care. It was Erin, my baby mama there, who got me into this habit because she was anal about it. She would not, she's like, you don't know who has tried this shit on. You don't know who has put this on their skin and you want to put it onto yours? Yeah, no, let me wash it first. And she actually got me into that habit, and it made me kind of think about, yeah, there's a lot more gross stuff to touch than there is to fucking breathe. But yeah, I always wondered that too. I was like, if you're worried about getting sick, why the hell would you go anywhere where there's 50,000 other people?
Yeah. You go to like a music concert and someone's wearing a mask. You're like, you're covered in people sweating all over each other. Like, just like, if you are honestly that worried, stay home, man. Or right? Take off the mask, like, and stop this fucking little tea party where I'll do it.
It's also not going to be like, you're not like spaced out when you're at a Comic-Con. You're like rubbing into people as you're trying to get through aisles and shit. It's weird, but man, it's been a trip those past few years. I just listened to Tom Green on Joe Rogan, and it was an interesting conversation. Yeah, man, because it's kind of weird right now, because I'm feeling in between a lot of the stuff. Like, you know, there's a lot of fucking right side, left side warring going on.
And
obviously the extremities on both sides are ridiculous, but it's kind of at a spot where it's like, really, I don't want to be either. Because everybody's got good points, and everybody's got good, like, bad points, and... Yeah, man.
Yeah, and you don't have to be one side over the other. Yeah. You can have an opinion that is maybe a little bit more conservative leaning, and it doesn't make you a conservative or a right-wing extremist. You can also have opinions that are left-leaning, and it doesn't make you a left-wing extremist either. There's no more nuance anymore, I'm realizing, with things. Everything is like, you got to pick a side, and you can't question that at all. You stick with that side no matter what. You're like, no, where's the nuance where something I can agree with someone politically, but also question them and think they're doing stuff wrong as well. I'm not joining blindly and going like, because I voted for somebody that everything they do is right. I can vote for someone and still question what they do.
That's the point. You're supposed to continuously question and always question.
And with the internet and the social media now, where it's a big tribalism now, where everyone is like, and this is, I always say, this is like what happened with the Hillary Clinton thing and Donald Trump in 2016, is that everyone is in these bubbles now of this echo chamber of like-minded people. So if someone says, I'm going to vote for Trump, you unfriend them, you delete them from your life because you go, they're a bigot, whatever, because they swear. And you forget that those people exist. And then all the polls say Hillary Clinton's going to win in a landslide. And then Trump wins. And you go, wait a minute, where did all these people come from? Because they still exist. You just don't want to see them anymore. And it's like, you don't have to agree with someone, but I think it's important to see the other side and know that there is a different opinion. And that's what makes conversation. That's what makes, like,
it's nutty that we're having this conversation, because we're having a conversation about how conversation is gone, something that has existed since the beginning of mankind. We have literally reached a point in society where conversation is almost literally impossible. Like, I don't think ever before in the history of man has there been a time where it's just people yelling at each other. Crazy, dude. It's like we've officially lost our fucking minds. Everybody's on like moldy bread or some shit.
Yeah. Well, it's also like everyone's so afraid of offending people now too. So nobody wants to take any stance or whatever. God forbid they offend somebody.
Oh, I'm so done. I got off social media a bunch. I got back on there. It's funny, because I got to mention this too. Two months ago, maybe. Are you still there? Oh, he froze. Are you there?
Yeah, sorry, it froze up for a second there. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, when it does that, just don't do anything. It's on my end. I just got shoddy internet tonight, so I just have to click it back on when we freeze.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But, so a couple months ago, I was like bored with a lot of stuff, but you know, I wanted to be doing stuff, but I'd spent a lot of time alone here because I kind of cut off from society and social media. So I start making these stupid little videos, these silly little fucking videos showing my toy collections, cards that I've bought, fucking retro trading cards, whatever. And I put a video up one day, and you, as we just spoke about, you weren't mean. You weren't any, you were, you just said, what is this? Like, you just didn't understand yeah. it. And in a way, I didn't understand it either. I was like, I don't know. Like, it's creatively, it makes me happy right now. You know, like yeah. that's all I'm thinking about. It's making me happy. I don't care what comes from it or whatever. So, you know, I'd love to edit. Like, I got obsessed with CapCut. That's what I did when I was younger. That's what I've always wanted to do, was be a film editor. So a lot of the fun of these making these stupid little videos was the editing part, right? I just kind of needed something to edit. And wouldn't you know that after completely giving up on giving a fuck about anything, making these stupid little fucking videos, in about a month, I got 20,000 followers on TikTok. And in the past 3 weeks, I've gained 14,000 new followers on YouTube because of these stupid little fucking videos that you one day were like, what is this? And I was like, I don't really know, but it's fun. And it's crazy what happens when you just stop giving a fuck and do things for you. And, yeah. you know, do things that make yourself happy. And, you know, I never intended for any of this shit to happen. I was just having fun. And all of a sudden, all these other people wanted to have the same fun. It's just all these like kids who are just like, I fucking love toys. I love lightsabers. What else you got? And I'm like, okay. And I tell you, man, it's been a huge lesson in life. And, you know, even times when, like, as it gets successful, you get tempted to be like, oh, I better be more polished at this, or I better get better at that. I keep reminding myself, nah, fuck that. You're only doing this for fun. So if you keep doing it that way, it'll keep, you know, being as genuine as it is, kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, we also have this thing where we feel like we have to monetize everything we do, right? To justify it. And it's like, no, you can do things just for fun.
That's a big reason I got off like Facebook and shit. I was like, why do we need to show everything? I don't want to show anything anymore, because I was so obsessed with showing things, and now I've gotten to a point where it just feels kind of gross, you know? Do we leave? I lost you again. Yeah, sorry, shitty internet tonight.
Did you hear what they said?
No, what'd you say?
I said, to be fair, when I did make fun of your videos, I was trying to be mean and make fun of you.
You didn't do too swell a job at that one.
No, but it's also, well, it's
that's
like,
the thing is, you say, this is what I mean. You don't say something like, this is stupid, or like, what the fuck are you doing? You just said, what is this? Like, that's, well, it's a beautiful fair, it's delivery. Like,
I like busting balls. For if I'm busting your balls, it generally means like we're friends and I consider you a friend. So that's why I'm like, yeah, I can break his balls about this. But also the lightsaber thing, I'm like, I get it. But the trading cards, I was like, what the fuck are you doing with these trading cards? Oh, we're going to open a pack of trading cards. I was like, what the hell is this shit? But I mean, I'm just busting your balls. Whatever makes you happy, I don't really care.
Well, you know, it actually didn't take off until I went exclusively lightsabers. And I stopped doing all that other stupid shit. Once I just went to the lightsaber collection, that's when, and what it was replying to comments with videos on TikTok. So people, most of my videos are somebody who leaves a comment and says, do you have so-and-so lightsaber? And then, you know, I reply to that comment as a video. And then that just keeps it rolling. So I don't even need to think about content. People keep just asking me shit and I get to answer their questions. And it's fucking great fun.
Yeah, man, I'm all for it. Like, even if I don't like it or agree with what people are doing, I'm like, honestly, whatever makes people happy, as long as they're not hurting anyone else. You know what I mean? Like, who gives a shit? Like, if it's cosplay you want to do, if it's lightsabers, if it's Seinfeld trivia, like, who cares? You're not hurting anyone. That's what makes you happy. But I also think that everything's fair game. And like, if you want to make fun of me for being a fucking Seinfeld nerd, go for it, man. That's funny. Like,
you know what strikes me also about the fucking Seinfeld thing is I never even took you for much of a TV guy.
No, I'm not really. I like, we were just recording a Seinfeld episode for Eric's Cave of Solitude, And I put my Netflix on because we're gonna like, we'll watch the episode to refresh. And on my Netflix account, it says like continue watching these episodes of like shows you've watched. There's nothing but Seinfeld. It doesn't say continue watching any. I only watch Seinfeld on Netflix. I don't watch anything else. Like,
I am about to begin the last season of my Golden Girls rewatch.
See, that's what I don't understand. Well, you watch that pile of shit, but you don't get Seinfeld. Seinfeld's infinitely funnier than Golden Girls.
People forget how well that show was actually written and performed by those wonderful actresses.
No, I'm not shitting on it, but the Seinfeld is the best. I don't care what anyone says. Seinfeld is the best show that's been ever made. It's still holds up to this day. It's still top 20 streaming shows of all of last year. And it's been off the air for 26 years. Like, it's nuts.
Yeah, so is Suits.
Yeah, well, I don't know what Suits. I mean, I think they filmed that here. And what is it, that Meghan Markle girl is in it or something like that? But, like, fuck that shit.
I just watch Golden Girls because it is a chuckle, but it's a good background show, and it's also just very nostalgic for me. It's just very comforting to have that on the like as you know you're going about your thing. But for me the funniest show that I ever just laughed at like out loud funny.
Yeah,
are you still there? Oh, sorry, your screen's all black.
If you say Frasier, I'm gonna hang up.
Oh God, no! Parks and Rec.
Oh, I like Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec, man, would have me in stitches. That show was just so absurd and so ridiculous that, loved it.
I mean, I wasn't always
a big.
Like, I like The Office. I like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Parks and Rec. I mean, Seinfeld to me is top, but that was funny because right before we pulled up Seinfeld, I went on YouTube and showed Eric Anthony a clip from Parks and Rec, and he was dying. He'd never watched it before.
Oh, you should watch it, man. That show's like just brilliantly done. You know what, though, is weird about Seinfeld is I like Seinfeld more post the show. Really enjoyed Cars with Coffee, Cars Comedians show. And I really like he's a smart guy and he knows what he's doing and he's very knowledgeable. I almost more enjoy listening to him say have a roundtable discussion with other comedians than actually be funny. Like his stand-up, it's just not my kind of stand-up. I'm a Bill Burr yell at you kind of fucking guy, I guess. But
yeah, I get that. I'm not like Seinfeld is. I like his stand up. He's not one of my favorite all time stand ups. But the show to me is just perfect. I mean, essentially, Comedians and Cars Getting Coffee is Seinfeld's podcast. It's if he was doing a podcast, that's what it is, right? Like, it's just a TV.
Yeah, he does. Yes, interesting questions. Like that is part of it. He's very observant. Like obviously, that's his fucking comedy, right? But yeah. he's also very observant with people, and yeah, I've enjoyed his fucking conversations and shit.
See, I actually find him less entertaining now because for the longest time he's been like super famous and basically like a billionaire. And to me, he's a little bit out of touch sometimes. I do respect things he says and stuff like that, but I don't agree with everything he says. He seems to be a little bit of like, I mean, anyone has that much money, lives like that for a long time. You're going to be a little bit out of touch with like the common human being. Oh, but
absolutely.
I still like Seinfeld a lot. The show to me is this top stuff, better than his stand up, better than anything he's done. It's just incredible.
Have
like,
you, as a chef, have you watched The Bear?
Yeah, as a chef, everybody asks you that question.
I figured, so I'm doing it as well.
I watched it mainly because everyone was like, have you watched that show? I get it. I get why people like it. The reason I don't really, it's not that I don't like it. It seems well done. The thing that I don't like about it is that it's people, so other guys who work in kitchens, they'll be like, oh my God, it's just like working in a kitchen. They drink out of a liter container instead of a glass in the kitchen, or they said behind or something like that. And you're like, yeah, I don't want to be reminded of work. Like, that doesn't do it for me. I don't want to be reminded of, like, because when you work in a restaurant, you're getting your like slammed, you're busting your ass. It's stressful. It's anxiety. There's a lot of going on there. I don't want to watch a show that reminds me of that. I want to watch a show to escape that shit.
I get that. Totally. There's a lot of emphasis on the cooking chef part of it, which I don't really get, because it is cool and they present things different. But the whole idea of the show is the dichotomy between the fact that this guy was like the top chef in the world making food that doesn't even look like fucking real food, to where he's slinging sandwiches in a fucking dirt hole. And the character development and the character work there is fucking phenomenal, you know? And, you know, even you as a chef have probably not, like, it's obviously overblown and, you know, fantastical, some of the scenes in that show, you know, like some of the moments of pressure, they make it seem like he's literally about to die over a situation that, you know, it's not that bad. And, you know, so you do have to kind of take it with a grain of salt is what I figure, you know, because I've worked in kitchens. I mean, not to your extent, but, you know, I've spent my time fucking slinging food here and there.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm glad the bear is successful. I'm glad people are liking it. I like a lot of those actors. I don't want to watch the bear. I don't really give a shit about watching people in a kitchen.
Do you watch anything else then? Or is it pretty much just Seinfeld?
No, I watch, I do like The Office, stuff like that. Me and my girlfriend actually just rewatched Game of Thrones, and man, as soon as it got to season 7, the first episode of season 7, we just stopped watching it, because it's just, they really shit the bed on the end, but it's such a good show for the first 4, even 5 seasons. It's such a fucking incredible show, and they just shit the bed so hard on the ending.
Dude, that's why Lost is the biggest trauma in my life. Fucking having gone through 6 seasons of Lost, this brilliant Lost thing that had never been fucking done before. Right. I was with it right down to the second last episode. Everyone's like, I don't know. And I was like, no, they're going to pull it out. There's one episode left and we're going to get the final answer. And no, they fucking completely shit the bed. And it's heartbreaking, man.
Lost seems to me like a show that there's like, so when you watch something like a Breaking Bad, you're like, oh, they knew how it was going to start and end. They knew like where it was going to go. Lost seems like literally every episode feels like they're just like, maybe a submarine. Like they're just making shit up as it goes along. And they're like, what if this guy traveled here? And you're like, they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
No, they started going like that. They didn't know. They were flying by the seat of their pants. And what they didn't do is kind of rein it back in and be like, okay, we got another season. Let's, you know, give it a purpose. It's like they didn't bother at any point, and then it became too late.
You are coming to Toronto Comic Con under the Raid banner, though, right?
I will be at Toronto Comic Con.
I kind of feel like that's only because they kind of make you, though.
No. I like you. I actually like they Raid. Ramon has a big Excel sheet or whatever, and he asks everyone what shows they want to do. And I mostly just want to stay local. I don't really like, I'm not flying to Calgary to do a Comic Con, really. But we are doing, you and I and Ricky Lima and a few others, we're going to do Sarnia Comic Con.
Yeah, that sounds like a party, man. I'm really looking forward to that. I must also say, just because you picked that one individual show saying Calgary, fuck, dude, there's something weird about Calgary. Calgary is in 2 buildings, right? And there's all the guests and exhibitors in one building. And then the whole other building is just a giant artist alley. Now, the 2 years that I've gone, the 2 years I've gone consistently, the fucking Artist Alley fucking building is twice as busy as the Celebrity building. Calgary loves comics, dude. They're comic crazy. Like Artist Alley is just packed and money is flying. And I've never heard anybody who hasn't been like, I sold so much of my shit in Calgary. So I just want to put that out there that just because you did mention that one show, it's actually that show sticks out. That show is weird in the fact that Calgary is a comic book loving town. I don't know what the fuck it is, but shit, they love their comic books. Anyways, sorry.
Okay, fair. No, I just throw that as an example. I just like, I don't really go anywhere. You know, I've never changed time zones in my life.
Ever?
No, I've never gone east or west enough to change time zones. I've gone south or north. Yeah. Well, no, but I'm good right here.
But there's some crazy shit out there in the world to experience.
Yeah. Like, I got Google. I can see it.
Dude, but like to not lie on a beach and get drunk one day on a Caribbean fucking. I don't get that.
Well, I've been to Bahamas. No desire. I get it.
You've been
I have no desire. I don't like tropical places.
How do you know that? You've never been to one.
I've been to Bahamas. It was fine. I just don't want to go to tropical places.
Bahamas isn't a different time zone.
I don't think so. I think it's the same time zone. I think it's just
You got real technical with that time zone shit then. You have been to a tropical beach then. Because when you say I haven't or whatever, I'm looking at like you've not left Ontario, you know?
I'd rather just go to a cottage 2 hours north of Toronto and sit on a like, you can sit on a beach and sit in a lake and sit in a canoe.
No, dude, I was just going to say, just one time in your life, everyone should go somewhere tropical and sit on a beach. You've done it. So cool. But like,
I don't want tropical.
I hear you too. Like, dude, there's nothing I want more. But still, my plan in life is to build myself a fucking log cabin up north and fucking retire up there, man.
Now you're talking.
Like, I know how to do that shit, which is cool. So,
I was looking at, I was talking to my girlfriend. There's a town called Cochrane. It's out near Timmins.
Sure.
They're selling, there's like a thing where they're selling land for $10 because they're just trying to get people to come up there and build houses and live there.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe we're moving to Cochrane.
Dude, there's a lot of those little spots. They can often be difficult. Like, you know, and often, you know, it's always a good idea to maybe go see that little plot of land if you can, because, you know, you never know what kind of land it is. I want to do the whole, I want to find a nice little plot with a whole bunch of pine trees, cut my own trees down, fucking process them, fucking slot them together. Fucking dude, that's a huge dream of mine.
Have you ever seen, Alone in the Wilderness? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
So it's video and diaries of this guy named Dick Prankey, who he was in World War II. And then after World War II, he sort of like, he was just basically an engineer that could build anything. And he just like would build things for people. He built up a giant nest egg. I think he got like divorced, and that's why he wanted to like, there's stuff in there where you're like, ooh, he's been scorned by women. That's why he wants to run away. But he bought this land in Alaska and he just filmed himself. This is in the 60s. He filmed himself building his log cabin, and he just brought some very basic tools and does everything by hand and builds this fucking amazing log cabin. And he lived there for 30 years by himself until he was like in his 90s.
That's sick. And,
it's fucking cool as hell. It's like a PBS documentary, and it's just watching this guy talk about building this cabin. And it's like, that's one of my dreams, is to just run away and live in the
woods. What's it called? Alone in the Woods?
Alone in the Wilderness.
The Wilderness. All right.
Yeah. The guy's name is Dick Prankey. I don't know where you can find it now, but it was like a PBS thing. It's beautiful to watch. Like, I've put it on with friends who would not watch stuff like that. And I just kind of threw it on TV in the background, and like, we'd be at a, like having a house party. And then all of a sudden everyone's just watching this guy build a cabin. And everyone's like, this is cool as fuck, dude. Like, he makes the hinges on his door. He makes them out of wood, everything. Like, everything he makes by his own hand.
Shit. Yeah, man. Fucking chainsaw, some fucking chisels, fucking.
Yeah, man.
Oh,
I'm going to ask you this. So one of my favorite things to watch is tree cutting fails.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like watching that? Does that give you anxiety? Because I find them funny as fuck.
It depends on the severity of the video.
Yeah.
Most of the time I laugh because they're a dumbass and nothing gets crushed but the house.
Yeah.
I love that shit. I love, because I see it coming. I see what they did wrong, and I know what it's going to look like. But there are ones that I'll close my eyes and look away from, because I know it's a serious injury. Like,
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not dumb. I don't want to watch people actually get hurt. I just
you know how you see someone get flung off a ladder, say?
Yeah, yeah.
And most people can kind of watch that because I don't think they really connect to how that would really go down. And I'm just so fucking aware. It's like a lot of people say to me, you must not be scared of heights, right?
Yeah.
And I'm terrified of heights. And if you were to put me on a 6th floor balcony or a 4th floor balcony, I could not go near the edge.
Oh, really?
I could not look over. It would make me extremely uncomfortable. And a big part of that is because I'm used to being tied into something, right? Like I'm hanging from a rope, and I have done all the safety shit myself. So I can trust myself and know that nobody else has done anything that might fail, right? So when I'm in that scenario in my trusted gear with my trusted rope and my trusted everything, I can go fucking hundreds of feet in the air. But if you just put me on a balcony on the 4th floor, I can barely fucking move. Because here's the big reason, and it's gotten worse since I've like gotten older in my career, is because I know the sensation of falling. Because
yeah, yeah.
I have slipped, I have fallen, I've dropped 10 feet. I felt where it would be so fucking instantaneous, and you would instantly, your whole body gets so fucking flooded, you'd get flooded with endorphins, and you would hit the ground and be fucking done. Or at least you'd hope. You better fucking hope that it's fucking done. Because,
yeah.
So I've had that.
Do you have dreams that you like, and you're falling in your dream?
I know, but I have like most people do when you're like almost asleep and you're like fall off something.
Yeah. You're like, oh shit.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, and yeah. It hits me pretty hard because I'll have that feeling in a tree. Like if something slips and I almost like go for a header, I get that feeling. So yeah, it does kind of connect to that. Absolutely. But I mean,
because when I was a kid, I grew up and we lived in a high rise building. And I used to have dreams of falling off the balcony, and I would like wake up, and that's like when you hit the ground, that's when you wake up.
Sure.
But then now I haven't lived in a high rise for a long, long time. I don't have those dreams anymore. But I was like, that's just like, it's like the thing you worry about, your insecurity thing like that. Like so that's like, you must have that a lot.
Yeah. Well, I've been spending, you know, over 2 decades trying not to die from this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it, like the safety part of it is just so fucking ingrained that it's like muscle memory. So I, there's other guys who from the second they came into it when they were young to the end are just fucking big dick swinging, giant, bald cowboy motherfuckers who have no fear at all. And they rip fucking 100-foot oak trees down to the ground for fucking breakfast. And then they fucking laugh about it. You know, there are guys like that. I'm not one of those. I'm one of those guys who has spent years perfecting his technique and, you know, his knowledge and his experience and his craft. And I have to look at it as an art form because, you know, my fear is what keeps me alive. Because I don't, I'm not one of those fucking big dick swinging guys, right?
So, yeah, man.
Yeah, definitely. That's the cool thing about this industry. You meet a lot of different fucking types of people, you know? And it pisses me off. Sometimes I get these YouTube comments. You know what one person once actually said? They said, save some pussy for the rest of us. Right? So I get these fucking.
That was me.
Comments.
I wrote that.
I get people calling me man child. And I get people calling me fucking what the fuck, your old man playing with toys and shit. And it's so hard not to be like, if you knew what I did every day for breakfast, you need a fucking diaper, like fucking shit yourself, you know. But
all those comments were me, actually. I made all those.
Just at home making fake accounts to fucking troll all my fucking shit.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So what is fucking, who runs SarniaCon again?
So in Sarnia, there is one, I believe there's only one comic shop. The name escapes me. I apologize, but it's by, there's a guy named Trent who owns the shop. And there's a group of guys that I think they were just like his friends that come to the shop. And they all started the Sarnia Pop Culture Show. So you have Terry, I believe it's, I'm going to feel bad if I forget it, but like Mike, Morgado, Terry, JJ, and JJ, you will get along with because he's a big Star Wars guy too. Okay, right. And there's, I think the other guy's name is Darren, and I apologize if I get that wrong.
So there's like a board? It's like a conglomerate of guys just to throw in this party?
They're just like the nicest guys. They've been so supportive of us. They love indie creators. They love bringing people in who, like, if you go like, hey, if I go like, hey, Trent, I got this guy, you know, he's a small time indie creator, but he wants to really like, they'll give him a free table. They'll come in. Like, they love to welcome guys like that. They love to support indie artists. The first time we did it, I think was like 2014, Ricky and I went to Sarnia because we'd gone to Windsor and it was a huge show. We did really well. And we thought, let's try Sarnia. And we went there and it was in the Holiday Inn, in like the banquet room in the Holiday Inn. And I remember we stayed in the hotel. So we went down to look at the show setup and it was so small. And Ricky and I were like, I think I said to Ricky, I was like, fuck, this show's going to suck. There's going to be nobody here. It's so tiny. And it wasn't a big show. It was, I would say probably they said the attendance was 800 people. And I would say probably 400 of those people bought our books. Like they were so nice and so supportive. We had some of the best, like we sold better than at that show than we've done at many other shows. Everyone is super nice and kind. There's not a lot of like competition. Like people are not like, it's not like bigger city places where, you know, people are, you know, they don't like the guy who runs this show or that show or this competition. It's not like that at all. It's just a super friendly environment. And then we just started going every year and we would get the hotel the night before and we just hang out and go see a band or go to the bar with some of the guys after that and setting up the show. And then we do the Sunday show and it's always a fucking great time, man.
That was awesome. I'm surprised I've never done this show. It's been running for that long. So I'm super stoked, man. It sounds like a good time.
They did their first one that was last year since COVID, the first one back after the whole thing. Couldn't make it, but then they asked us to come this year and I'm more than happy to go this time. And I really want to, it's such a great time. Now they've expanded to I think it's called Prince Edward Arena. It's a hockey arena that they basically do the show in. So it's much bigger than it used to be. Sure. Smaller end of the show, but it's such a great show, man. Everyone there is amazing and I'm so excited. Sarnia is one of those places where I'm like, I could fucking move here. I could live in Sarnia once I get sick of living in Toronto.
I stopped in it once because I hopped back over the border from Michigan and I needed a dube. And I went, yeah. I drove into like little downtown there and it was lovely. It's, you know, it's typically like most small old school downtown main street Canadian towns, but it is lovely. It's fucking,
it's a big small town. So it, like if you do a show, like we did like the country what is it called? The Cottage Country Con or something.
Did you do that? Like, yeah.
We did it once and it was in like Orillia or something like that. So the problem is like a lot of small towns, they're too small to really have a good show. Like there's not enough people. Right. And then you go to something, say like we used to go to Windsor and Windsor was okay, but then they started having multiple cons and it's like, it's not a big enough city to have multiple cons. It became too competitive and sort of saturated and it didn't really work.
Yeah, I was
that
there
well.
For the action show.
Yeah. And I think, like, in my opinion, like, Windsor is like a smaller town that thinks it's bigger than it is because it's across from Detroit. Right. You know, they want to be a bigger town, but it's still kind of a small town where Sarnia feels like it's just right. They're just big enough to have a good con, but they're not too tiny. They're like, and they're just like, there's no competition between shows. I think there's only one comic shop. So like everyone's just super supportive of Trent and he gives it right back to everyone. He's super supportive, super nice, super great guys, man. I can't say enough nice things about Sarnia and I'm super excited to go back.
All right. Good times. When is this again?
I believe it's April 14th. It's the Sunday, either the 13th or the 14th.
Holy shit. Is my fucking April packed.
Yeah. What else are you doing?
Well, on the April 11th and 10th and 11th are my favoriteest band in the whole wide world, the Slackers, who do the theme song for this podcast. If y'all heard it when you started listening to the podcast, they're playing in Kitchener on the 10th and Toronto on the 11th. So I have those two shows that I'm so looking forward to because I haven't seen them since before the pandemic. And because, well, I missed the last two shows that they've come here because I was in fucking Calgary and I'm not doing Calgary this year. So I'll be here to see it.
What's ska?
Yeah, it's like old Motown, soul, reggae, ska. It's not, that's why I don't, it's not like Goldfinger fucking ska. It's like fucking saxophones and fucking like 60s sounding like Jamaican ska, you know what I mean?
All right.
But a lot of
funny. You're the only guy I know whose like favorite music is ska.
Yeah, but it's that's why I wish there was a different word for this kind of ska, because this goes back to like first wave ska. This is like the very original guys. It sounds like Motown and soul music and horns and shit, you know? It's like,
okay, like that.
Their live show is like seeing the Blues Brothers. It's fucking exciting as shit, you know? It's horns and dancing and. But yeah, it's ska and reggae and shit. But anyways, then on April 21st, we have Artsy Fartsy 2. Artsy Fartsy Comic Con 2 happening at the Transat Club.
Where's the Transat Club?
It's shit. It's in the Beaches, basically, I think.
Oh, okay.
But it's, yeah, in the east side over there.
Let's get that for my hood, man. I'm in Leslieville.
Yeah, I'm just blanking, but you should come and hang out because it's going to be super fun. Lots of cool people doing that show. And I think...
Is it a one-day show or multiple days?
Just one day. Yeah.
Is it a Sunday?
You're going to make me fucking pull this shit up, aren't you? Hold on one sec.
Oh, I just looked up Transat Club. It's 292 Brunswick. So it's in the annex. It's not on the east side.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got my areas confused there. Yes, it's in the annex.
It's like you don't even live in Toronto, man. It's like you're like some guy from Burlington.
Oh, I still don't know my Toronto enough. Yeah, so that's going to be fun. And then I feel like I have something else going on, but I can't remember. On May 3rd, I'm doing my one and only American show of the year. And that's
Philly?
Yeah, Fan Expo Philly. So that's on May 3rd. But it's exciting, man. April's going to be fucking jam-packed of good stuff to do. And Sarnia, basically. That was probably the other thing I was trying to think of, was that we're going to Sarnia, too.
Yeah, man, we're going to have a fucking blast in Sarnia.
I'm looking forward to it. Good times. But yeah, Philly should be fun, too. Sean Daly's coming down again. And this year, actually, it's also going to be Keith Grichow and Becca's coming. New York Becca.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, so Philly should be a good time. I like going back to Philly because it's where I used to do the Great Philadelphia Comic Con, right?
Oh, and yeah, that's right.
So I have a lot of connections and friends and things in Philly, like the Kanopka, of course. The Stanimal is out down in Philly, so it'll be fucking fun to see the Stan Kanopka. But I'm not going to do any traveling to America, I think, this year. I think I'm going to save up all my money that I would normally spend on doing that. And then next winter, I'm going to go to Orlando and I'm going to spend 2 weeks in Star Wars land, pretending I'm a Jedi Knight and making lightsabers and swords and droids and shit. That's what I'm going to do.
You know what, Jay, you deserve that, man. That's what you want to do. You should do that.
You know,
if anyone should build their own fucking lightsaber, it's Jake.
Right? Holy fuck. 35 years. 35 years of these fucking things. They fucking better pay off one day.
Well, I didn't know that much about it, but I heard you and Rutgazer talking about it on the previous show, and it sounds pretty reasonably priced, man. It doesn't sound that crazy.
Well, I have a deal where, like, the whole trip would be cool. Because, I mean, flights to Florida are what? $200-$300 for fucking round-trip flights to Florida. My boss has a timeshare in Florida that I can get a week out of for $500 Canadian.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah. Cool.
So we're still, that's flight and accommodation. We're still under $1,000, right? So then I think it's like $150 to get into the park. And then it's like $200 to build your lightsaber. So
yeah, I mean, if you're doing that vacation, that sounds pretty reasonable.
So when I factor in food and this and that, you know, I could take like maybe I saved up, you know, $2,500, $3,000. That's like a comfortable trip. That's like eating what I want, where I want, fucking just buying what I want type trip, right?
Yeah, so, that's not unfair,
man. Yeah, so I think that's what I'm gonna do, man. And Because there was just, yeah, last year, all my American shows, in some weird way, they felt, because of SourcePoint being on hiatus, it kind of felt like a farewell tour, you know? I felt like I said a lot of goodbyes, had a lot of good last moments doing whatever, and I felt good and comfortable. And I was like, I'm really satisfied with this grand, you know, whatever, 8-year adventure of, you know, touring the world with SourcePoint Press, kind of was, or at least North America. And with New York Comic Con, it felt like a real nice bookender. And I was like, this is where shit changes, I think. I think I'm going to go home and shit's going to be different. And it was. I went home and, you know, it was like the end of a couple year ordeal that had gone on. And it was just a nice fresh breath of air, like letting a lot of shit just go. So, yeah, now it's all about me, bitches. It's about me going to a fucking beach and building lightsabers. That's what it's about now.
Do it, man. Make it happen.
It's been all about all y'all's Kickstarters for fucking 10 years. I'm done. No, but I still want to be supportive. You know, I'm just tired of having the same conversations about it. Like, fucking, let's talk something a little bit. We want to talk about your Kickstarter, your books, fine. But, like, don't come on my show and make it a commercial anymore. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, and especially, like, you can pick and choose. Like, you don't have to feel like you have to do that. You know what I mean? Like, do whatever you want. You want to talk about Kickstarter one day? Great. If you don't want to, who gives a shit? Talk about fucking cutting down a tree and smoking some weed. Right. Who gives a shit?
Well, it's weird how this weird pressure when you do something like this is the 13th year I've been doing this. And it's kind of weird how it's like becomes its own thing. And I kind of had to retake it over. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you evolve too, right? Like, and you get tired of doing one format or another. Like,
sure. Yeah.
Whatever feels right.
Yeah. 100%. But you know, either way, I want to congratulate you guys on fucking Raid and Cauldron and the Kickstarter and everything being super successful. Cause that's awesome. He was like $29,000 or some shit.
Jesus Christ. I'm glad it's over.
Nice.
Thank you for saying that though. I appreciate it.
I'm kind of glad it's over too, to be honest. It was a long run, but I, on that note, I will be at Toronto Comic Con, hosting Sketch Tools, having a great old time.
Yeah. Didn't they just announce like a bunch of panels and you're doing a bunch of them, right?
Yeah. I don't know if they announced the panels, but they did.
I think it's on the website now.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah.
Shit. Thanks, Kev. Thanks for the heads up there, Kev. That's awesome. No, I'm sure I would have. Kev's busy as fuck. I'm sure he would have let me know. But are they fun?
Actually, Toronto Comic Con is probably my favorite Toronto show because it's like, I always call it like mini fan expo.
Yes, 100%.
It feels the same.
It's smaller. There's a little bit less of the Hollywood vibe, so you get a little bit more people to come check out the comics. It's 3 days, which is perfect because 4 days of Fan Expo. By the Sunday, I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to sit at a con for 4 days behind a table. Like, it's just too much, man.
I feel you. I completely feel you.
I always feel like I sell the best at Toronto show. I just have a good time in the Toronto show. There's less pressure. I like this show a lot.
Yeah, it's more local, you know, it's more familial in a way, which is cool. But I got to say, you see fucking Niagara Falls stepping it the fuck up this year. Fucking Greg Capullo.
Are they doing that? I don't even look at Niagara. Well, I've done Niagara Falls a handful of times, and I feel like every time I've done fucking Niagara Falls, all they care about is like meeting Ted DiBiase or some washed-up wrestler. And it's different. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm bitter, I didn't sell enough comics, but at other shows, even if people don't buy your comic, they'll walk by and like check it out. Yeah. And I was like, every time I go to Niagara, it's like, hey, do you want to check out my comic? And they're just like, they don't even want to look at you or look at your shit. They're just like, you don't exist, man. You're not Virgil from WWE. Or you're not the Honky Tonk Man. So like, right. I don't know. Like, it may be Niagara stepping up. Greg Capullo
That's what I think happened is that kind of rep got back to them and it got to be a thing. And I think it was it had to be a conscious effort because like not only the comic guests, but the celebrities themselves They've hugely stepped it up this year. This is the first year I've been really maybe excited to go to Niagara Falls Comic Con. We'll see what happens there. I'm gonna do most of the local shows for fun, but yeah, Philly's gonna be my only fucking US bullshit.
The thing I don't like about Niagara Falls is, like, so every time you do the show, you're there for the weekend, and Niagara Falls is kind of a weird place because it's like, it's a border town. It's kind of feels like there's like casinos. It feels like a shitty Atlantic City.
It's a horrible place.
But when you look, like, if you're not doing the touristy stuff, you start looking close and you're like, ah, this is kind of like a trashy small town.
Oh, it's
like
the so locals trashy. That go here. It's yeah, so trashy. There's
weird people there, man. Like,
dude, it's murder hotels all over the place.
Yeah.
It's gross. It's gross.
Not even joking. I think when me and Ricky and Shay Han stayed there in 2015, and Jason Lowe was staying in the same motel, whatever. I think there was a story about someone recently was murdered in that motel. And I'm not even joking. I think that I can't remember the details, but I remember them there being like, yeah, someone was murdered here.
I stayed, my buddy Jimmy came out from Michigan one year for Niagara Falls. And one night we went and saw Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, the podcast, live. And then afterwards got drinks, and he had gotten a hotel room. And I didn't realize that he had went like crazy cheap mega murder hotel room.
Yeah,
I didn't even want to sit on the bed, man. I was like, this just is so gross. And the city is like, even the touristy areas are like, it was a little improved over the last year or two, but it got to a point where it was like stuck in time, and it was stuff that was just so not like kids would look at and just find weird, not entertaining. Right. Just like things that were so out of touch that they just came off as creepy almost.
You go to Niagara because it's a bachelor party, or you want to have a romantic thing with your girl and you want to fuck in a hot tub and overlooking the falls. That's the only real reason you go to fucking Niagara.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to do dirty shit. Although the Niagara Gorge, there's an area, it's kind of near where the Butterfly Conservatory is. And there's this mega staircase, and it goes down over this cliff into what is the Niagara Gorge, which is the entire kind of forested area of the Niagara River. After the falls fall over and keep going a bit, they actually come to a point where there's a giant whirlpool.
Okay.
And all around this whirlpool is the fucking gorge. And dude, it's like another universe. You feel like you're on a Star Wars planet. When you go down there, there's boulders so fucking big, and they're all like connected, and you have to walk through them, and these giant old fucking trees. It feels like Endor. Like, I'm not shitting you. And it's amazing. It's one of the most underrated hikes anyone around can do. And I'm always telling people, take the dog. If your dog can do stairs, you can take the dog.
Yeah.
If it can handle the stairs, or if you can carry it, if you're man enough. But I recommend everyone should check it out. Cause for some reason, a lot of people don't realize it's there. I don't think people ever think beyond the falls, but once the falls falls down into that river has to keep going, right? Like, down there and follow it a bit, dude, it is some of the most beautiful area in all of Ontario. It is stunning down there. And
that's cool. I like that. Like that.
Take the girl or take the dog or do something, but it's great.
Hey, have you ever gone to the Redwood Forest where they film? And that's one thing I'd like to do. I'd like to see the Redwoods.
Absolutely. The biggest trees I've ever seen. Well, I saw some pretty, not redwoods, but I did see some pretty big sequoias in Vancouver, because obviously as guy, I spent like 2 days walking through Stanley Park. Just in awe of the shit I was seeing. Cause I mean, it's funny cause here, you know, we have big oak trees and big tall pine trees, and we think they're all, I did a fucking 100-foot pine tree today. And then you take a walk down the trail in BC and there's like 300-foot like fucking cedars and sequoias. And it's like, at home is child's play. But here, you know what the difference is here? Out there, you got to be a big tree ninja. Like, you got to be a big tree, like, fucking cowboy type guy. But out here, you have to be a fucking ninja. Because what my skills are designed around is I've got to take this tree down without damaging this fucking solarium attached to this mansion where this fucking Maserati is parked next to with this heated driveway and this infinity pool. I've got to somehow make this fucking tree come to the ground without touching any of this shit. And it's like a crazy big giant game of operation. And I got to use ropes and pulleys like I'm some kind of fucking Egyptian. And it's fucking, it's a challenge. It's very cool. But that's kind of the difference from BC. Out in BC, you can kind of be like, timber, and fucking let shit fly, right?
Yeah. I mean, both are cool.
Oh, both cool.
I've always wanted to go see the Redwood Forest. And like for you being one, a tree guy and a Star Wars guy, like,
oh shit, yeah.
You got to go to Endor, bro.
100%, man. I'll get there one day. Definitely. Yeah, I'm going to start doing that, I think, because I want to travel more, but like for me. So more like instead of going to New York, Chicago, fucking how many cities in a fucking year where I don't even see the city. I'm tired of going to American cities and not even seeing the goddamn city because I'm in panels all fucking weekend.
Yeah,
I don't want to fucking do that anymore, you know. And next time I do go to Calgary, I'm going to stay for a few extra days and I'm going to go out to fucking Banff and, you know, and check it out because I hear that's just the most beautiful place in Canada, Lake Louise and shit.
Yeah, you got to take that classic picture at Lake Louise, or everyone does.
I don't do that anymore. I've given it up.
No, you're talking about everyone takes that one picture at Lake Louise by the lake, like everyone that same spot.
Yeah. Yeah. My brain broke so much that I've completely given up selfies. I don't take them anymore.
Yeah, cool. What did you do with your selfie stick?
I was the selfie king, man. And, you know, end of the show, all my classic fucking end of show selfie albums. I can't do it anymore because it feels stupid and gross.
Yeah, and you don't have to do that.
Yeah, and pointless. And so that's not part of the repertoire anymore. We won't be wasting our time.
I with social media, I've gotten to a good place where I feel like I'm like, if I go to a concert, if I go to a comedy show, if I do anything, like there's people that they have to post everything they do. And it's like, just because you didn't take a picture of it and post it on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, like it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Like you can just enjoy the time. And I got
enjoy the moment, man.
Healthy, I think it is to get there to where you just be like, let me just fucking like enjoy this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to post that I'm going to a comedy show that I was at this. Like, it's let me just go and laugh, man. And let me just enjoy life.
I think that's the perfect place to end this because we have less than a minute. It's the kind of thing, kids, where you remember when we were kids and you were waiting for the bus? What the fuck did you have to do? You didn't have a phone. You just had to literally just stand there and wait. And I'm glad that we were done waiting for our good friend, Shane. Awesome sauce. Kids, fuck the world. That's all we're going to have this week in an Elegant Weapon. Take it easy.